Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we do get into a discussion just around the recently held State of the Nation address that we saw happening this week. We're recording this on Friday, the 11th of February, which means President Cyril Ramaphosa addressed the nation late on Thursday. That was the 10th of February. It was quite a lengthy speech. I think, some of the time codes that I got, it was almost 2 hours long from some of the things that we've seen. He covered the wide gamut of what's going on out there in the economy, just sort of pointing a lot of blame at government. He even called some of the reactions to the crisis, some of the different crises. He identified ineptitude in government. He identified, a lot of corruption. He identified the fact that there needs to be a social compact. He identified issues at state-owned enterprises, unemployment, the role of the state in creating jobs versus the private sector. There was so much that we actually saw coming out of that speech for, last night. But for today, we do have, some experts that are going to be, helping us to, trickle down some of what was being said yesterday, particularly from a macroeconomic point of view and a sort of business point of view, because everyone sort of looks at this particular speech in different ways, because everyone is concerned about it in different ways. If you're a company and you are sitting and you're watching that, you might be wondering what all of the things that the government is talking about, how are they going to fund it, is it going to affect me and my taxes? And for that, we are joined by Yolandi Esther Hazen, who is a registered tax practitioner and director for products compliance over at Sage Africa and Middle East. And then to also give us the macroeconomic picture, what's going on, we are joined by Lo Now, who is a senior political analyst over at Oxford Economics Africa. So to get things rolling, I think I'm just going to start just getting a sense from each one of our guests just around, some of the main themes that they caught before we get into, some of their different, knowledge areas to see, how, it applies to their areas. So Yolandi, just starting with you, greetings to you this morning. From your sense, just an overview of some of the things that you picked out. I think before we started recording, we had just all spoken about just how long that particular speech was.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. And you, right, it was absolutely a very long speech, but it's good. I know, there are lots of plans, so that was great that a lot of things were addressed. Now, firstly, it was great that he acknowledged that businesses create jobs and that they are committed to make it easier for small, medium, large business to actually grow and appoint more people and to access new markets. So a few of the things that actually stood out to me was the first thing was cost of doing business. For a few years, it's actually been mentioned that the cost should be reduced for businesses. But it seems like government is now actually more committed than ever before. Mm. What, something that also that I had at the back of my mind is last year, the minister said that the corporate income tax rate would be reduced to 27%. And I know there were amendments in the Amendment Act to broaden the corporate tax base that would be a starting point for this, to accommodate this lowered income tax rate. And that was to limit interest deductions and assess losses. But nothing else was mentioned since the budget speech. So I'm thinking, yes, he focused on reducing the cost of doing business, but I'm wondering if the lowered corporate income tax rate would still be on the cards as part of that. Then it was mentioned that they want to reduce the regulatory burden on and to create jobs and growing of companies. Now, we know that costly and complicated regulations have a direct impact on businesses. And he mentioned that a prominent businessman was appointed, Mr. Nkosi, which will run with this project. So I'm looking forward to see what they have in place to reduce red tape and the regulatory burden on companies. Now, obviously, unemployment, on top of our minds, this is one of the biggest challenges we currently have. And I think a lot of focus in this speech last night was placed on inequality, poverty, and unemployment. Now, it was mentioned that global business services sector was actually on track to create 500,000 jobs over the next few years. And there are other initiatives that will focus on specific sectors. And he also mentioned that the employment tax incentive will be expanded. So the details will be announced in the budget speech. Now, during the past year or so, additional funding was allocated to the Presidential Youth Employment Program, and ETI, or the Employment Tax Incentive Initiative, was expanded twice. And I'm wondering, I mean, that was expanded, we added more funding to address the unemployment issue, but our unemployment rates still increase. So I'm really hoping that this increased ETI and the programs and the initiatives that they have in place will really address this problem. But yes, we need specific plans on unemployment. And I think we were all waiting in anticipation for an announcement regarding the basic income grant. And so that won't be on the cards for now, I'm assuming, but it would just be the social distress relief that will be continued for another year. Now, that in itself will place pressure on the fiscus. And, in terms of taxes and whether we will pay more taxes, et cetera, the money has to come from somewhere. And I was convinced that if, we had a better revenue collection than expected, we know government is committed to reduce the spending, to reprioritize cost and reviewing existing programs. But if this continues, then I don't know whether we will keep on seeing tax relief or there might be an increase then going forward in taxes. NHI was mentioned, which they were quiet on for a few years now. I know the Davis Tax Committee said it might need 165 billion rand, so that will obviously also have an effect on taxpayers that goes through with those recommendations. And then something that I was just curious lastly to hear about was nothing really was mentioned about the TERS or the Temporary Employment Relief Scheme and the YES programs. What progress, statistics in terms of claims and how many businesses, whether it will continue or not. So those are basically what stood out to me last night.
No, certainly a lot to, think about: the cost of doing business, employment tax incentives, basic income grants, not much being said about TERS benefits, all of that stuff. Lo, just, switching over to your side, what stood out to you, from your corner?
Hello, and thank you for having me. I think that Yolandi's provided us with an excellent intro. Thank you for that, and touched on a number of the important issues. It was an incredibly long speech. But I think it's important to also consider the address in isolation. As someone who worked at Parliament for many years and has listened to many, many sonas, I did come away with the impression that this was one of the better sonas that I've listened to in my time. It felt very complete. It felt like it had a good balance between the normal sort of aspirational stuff and the pandering, but also there was a significant amount of detail, which in previous sonas was absent. And we saw the president provide timelines for some of these projects, which, it's a different matter altogether whether or not his government is going to deliver on these commitments that he's made and these timelines that he's provided. But it's still, in terms of as far as the statement of intent goes, I felt that it was definitely one of the better sonas that I've listened to. Having said that, obviously also with 2 hours worth of talking, it still leaves us with a number of questions. He did provide us with a few answers yesterday, as Yolandi pointed out. He made it clear that the debate on the basic income grant is being kicked down the road, and that we have to wait at least another year before an opinion or before a decision is made on that. And of course, the SRD grant is extended by another year, which I think most people anticipated. But as Yolandi points out, that of course raises the question of financing that. It is a significant chunk of change that we need to find somewhere. But he also dedicated a very large part of his address to the energy question, which we all know is the biggest threat to our economy at the moment. And there was a lot said about energy, a lot of detail provided. In that, there's some anomalies that perhaps need to be pointed out. He talks about the electricity cap of 4,000 megawatts. A colleague of mine who's much better versed at these things speak about the fact that the electricity shortage is closer to 6,000 megawatts. And with the frequent and unplanned plant breakdowns, and then with an energy availability factor of under 63%, the crisis is very serious. And talking about plans being still at the construction stage or the bidding stage, the tendering stage, doesn't promise relief on that front over the short to medium term. So again, excellent to have the plans, but we'll have to see moving forward whether or not it translates into real action on the energy crisis, which he quite correctly identifies as the biggest challenge to the biggest threat to economic and social progress in the country. But he did touch on a number of issues along the way that were important. And I think that, also reading between the lines, looking at some of the language he used, this is definitely one of the most pro-business friendly speeches we've seen in a while. I think there were plenty of members of the ANC caucus who were grinding their teeth as he made his comments about the fact that business is responsible for creating jobs and not government. There were almost comical moments where the DA benches were very pleased and cheered on parts of his speech where the ANC benches were stone-faced. And we saw later in his speech, he returned to some of the sort of more familiar language that we've seen in the past, talking about our foremost priority is to build a capable, ethical, developmental state, that kind of language that we've grown accustomed to. But significantly less than the sort of pro-business language that we saw at the front end of the speech, which I found encouraging. And then, of course, we can return to this later, perhaps. He did promise us on Monday that he was going to come back to the expert panel report on the civil unrest from last year. Unfortunately, he didn't really announce any concrete action. Safe to say that they were going to look to implement the recommendations of that panel. And he spoke about the state capture report, but again, really only just repeated a commitment he had made earlier to come up with a substantive plan by June 30th. And so much of that 2 hours was dedicated to repeating things that we already knew and things that he already said. So as important as they were for him to touch on, they certainly weren't new. And we were left unsatisfied on some of the things that I think we were hoping that he would address in greater detail.
All right. No, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, Lo. And, one just also then waits to see what type of color, will be provided, particularly around issues, that have to do with, the state capture report, the expert panel report, because, those are issues where, at least on the economic side, on the funding side, a lot of our questions will be answered in a couple of weeks when Minister Gondongwana gives us his maiden, full year budget speech. We'll get a lot of answers, from that. But, for some of these other questions, one waits to see how some of those things will be tackled. Yolandi, just coming back to you, I think one of the big things that both of you seem to be on is the fact that this seemed to be more of a pro-business type of speech that came out from the president. And it's a very fine line, a very fine line that has to be walked in terms of balancing the social needs of the country versus the economic needs. And with a lot of emphasis being placed on the fact that private businesses are the ones that are here to create, employment and all of that. What type of things do you sort of expect? I think you were hinting on this, earlier on. What type of things do you are you looking to prioritize when you're listening to Minister Gondongwana's speech in a couple of weeks? Because I would imagine that something like the corporate income tax, you know, would be something that a lot of businesses are, you know, quite concerned about at the moment. Or do you think that businesses are looking for other types of incentives or other areas of relief, you know, just so that they can, you know, employ all these people, as the president is saying?
No, absolutely, you're right. And yes, I've already alluded to the corporate income tax rate, because that is, like I've mentioned, they've been silent all along since last year's budget speech. So will that actually still be implemented? I have no idea. And yes, there is a fine balance in getting or reducing the fiscal deficit, but also assisting companies, because a lot of them are still recovering from this pandemic. A lot of them aren't able to afford to pay their employees still. They haven't fully recovered. A lot of businesses have closed. So definitely looking forward to the details that will be announced in the budget speech regarding the employment tax incentive program. Will it actually be, and you know what, and what we currently seen, and we've actually done research, and a lot of employers are worried and they don't utilize the employment tax incentive program, to give an example, because they are worried about non-compliance. They are worried about the complexity, the administrative burden. And for years, I've been hoping that that would be reduced, you know, to simplify the employment tax administration for more employers, for small businesses who don't have tax practitioners, aren't always comfortable in utilizing, because it is, like I said, an administrative burden. You have to make sure that it is claimed 100% correctly. And a lot of them are just not utilizing, not benefiting from it at all because of that worry of non-compliance. And they are scared to use that. So, you know, I've been hoping for simplification for a past number of years, but I've given up a bit of hope. And that is something that when he announces those changes to the employment tax incentive, I'm really hoping that something would be mentioned in terms of calculations, the reporting thereof to SARS, etc. So that is on top of my mind. I mentioned the corporate income tax rate. And then those are basically the two main areas out there that I'm looking forward in terms of relief.
Perhaps as a follow up to you, Yolandi, on this point, one of the big debates, I guess, over the last 2 years now, due to this lockdown period for businesses and, you know, a lot of people that are working for companies, etc., is this question of, you know, working from home and what does it mean, you know, in terms of the tax regime. Do you think we'll get any, because I don't particularly remember him mentioning it, but do you think we'll get any issues, maybe not issues, but any relief or clarity rather, just around, you know, what does all of that mean? Because, you know, I'm working from home right now and I've been told, you know, from certain corners that, you know, as long as you have a dedicated workspace, you could claim the electricity and your Wi-Fi and all of this stuff. And, you know, and one of the big questions that was out there was, you know, do I go and claim directly from SARS? Do you claim directly from your companies? You know, do you think, you know, an issue like that will be addressed?
Very good question, because it affects a lot of us working from home these days. So last year, and I mean, currently the regulations or the requirements to claim home office expenses are quite stringent. And in my opinion, not always fair, as you've just mentioned. If you don't have a dedicated area, then you're not necessarily able to claim those expenses. And not all of us are as privileged to have a separate working space or working or area in your house. So definitely that needs attention. In the 2021 budget review document, it was mentioned that National Treasury would specifically look into this and they would start with consultations during the 2021-2022 year. Now, we know it is a complex topic, so it must be well thought through, and you know, it shouldn't be a one size fits all. But I think because it's so complex, they haven't changed anything this year. Nothing was mentioned in the Amendment Act. So obviously as a starting point, and that will probably still go through that whole process, legislative process. But I'm hoping that he will mention something in this budget speech, you know, just as far as the progress has been made in terms of these schemes to provide a bit of relief. Something else that I want to just mention is the two-pot retirement system, or that so-called two-pot retirement system, where you will be able to have access to one-third of your retirement savings and two-thirds won't be accessible. And that is obviously a way to force people to save for retirement, to reserve those funds, but also have a bit of money available in case of emergency. Now, there's a discussion paper out on that. And as part of that, they've also mentioned mandatory schemes and auto-enrollment into pension or retirement schemes. So that is also, I'm hoping to hear in the budget speech, what exactly is the progress on that? Will it still be implemented starting next year? You know, what the tax implications will be? Because only once the draft legislation is published will we actually see what the tax implication will be. Will there be a statutory contribution in terms of a fixed percentage and how exactly that will work? So your two-pot retirement system and the Home Office expenses definitely on the cards for the budget speech.
No, certainly. I think a lot of us will be sitting and waiting to see what type of clarity can we get from, you know, some of those issues, because it is affecting a lot of people. And, do you know, to your point, a lot of the regulations are stringent. But above, apart from being stringent, if you are just someone who's working, you might not even be aware that you have this ability to claim, you know. But at the same time, for those that do know they can claim, they might they might be at pains to actually find themselves, you know, dedicated workspaces, all of the issues that you've just raised, including that issue of retirement at the end. So once again, another big point that we're going to be waiting on. Lo, I want to come back to something that you mentioned earlier on, and that was you took time to mention to us that the language of yesterday's Sona was very important. You know, the way he was phrasing certain things in the beginning and then coming back to the familiar language that we've been used to. But at the same time, you mentioning, you know, some of the comical moments, the DA, you know, sort of cheering at certain points, but, you know, getting a somewhat muted response from, you know, ANC leaders because of, you know, some of those more pro-business stances. Because in the political economy, you know, there's a lot of promises that are given to us, but the president is going to have to coalesce around the different parties that are out there. You know, Action SA is now a new player, you know, that is going to be having to make some type of concessions with, you know, build coalitions and all of that. The reality on the ground on your end, just around the promises versus what we can actually get done, you know, how are you seeing that play out?
Yeah, and I think that was very much part of the story yesterday. The president finds himself in a very peculiar moment in terms of the political business cycle. We had an election last year that was a disaster for the ruling party, and everyone is talking about 2024. All eyes are on 2024. So some of the more unpopular decisions that maybe need to be made, perhaps this is the year to make it. Because take tax increases as an example. If you were going to increase them in 2023, you might have to reap what you sow in 2024. You're certainly not doing it in an election yet. So there are some unpopular things perhaps that need to happen now. But at the same time, the president is very aware that he's standing for re-election in December. And as such, with all the cabinet members that I think that maybe you and I would like to see shuffled out or taken to task, he simply doesn't have the space to do that right now. He has to take care of his caucus. And I think that sometimes it feels like when he appoints these advisory councils and the task teams and what have you, it seems bizarre because you wonder out loud, but what is the minister doing? If you're appointing Mavuso Simang and Sipho Nkosi and Daniel Manela to to take care of visa reform and red tape and climate change and all of those things. What are the ministers up to? What are they doing? Why can't they do it as well? Why is it necessary to appoint task teams to take care of these things? But we do see that a lot of these task teams are located within the presidency, the same way that we saw last month the political reporting line for the State Security Agency was redirected to the presidency, to the minister in the presidency. So a consolidation taking place there, and him bringing a lot of these functions closer to home and consolidating it. But he finds himself in a very sticky wicket. He has to worry about what the country needs, and he also has to worry about unity within the ANC, and he has to worry about getting another term at the end of the year. And so yesterday we saw some comical moments here. As I said, we also saw some not so subtle jabs being aimed. I think he aimed one at Tourism Minister Lindiwe Sisulu. He was very conscious in referring to our constitution as the best constitution in the world. That was definitely a comment aimed at her, and he returned to that theme later in the speech. And I think that there were other comments in there where he was quite honest about some of the failures, and there were some mild rebukes of underperforming departments, and so that's encouraging, but again needs to be seen within the context of what can he actually do, considering the political shackles that he has at the moment. There was a moment last night where the camera panned to Peggy Pele, as he was referring to the expert panel report, and you could see on Minister Pele's face that it's a man who knows that his job is safe, and that he's not going to be removed. And these are the realities for Mr. Ramaphosa. But yeah, like I said, the language was important. The pro-business language was important. He's now set up his finance minister to build on this with his maiden speech. And being its maiden speech, it perhaps has a little bit more scope for him to do things that an incumbent may not have been able to do. One would expect him to continue on the fiscal consolidation path that Tito Boweni charted. But there is just a little bit of space, considering the political cycle and the fact that he's new to the job, for him to maybe make some brave decisions and move away from what we've seen in the past, where your spending priorities, it just becomes a reallocation of spending, and your familiar cut to the equitable share that goes to provinces and the conditional grants, shaving here and shaving there, cutting away from places where the spending is desperately needed in order to try and finance social protection and some of the other programs that the president spoke of last night. We're all keenly anticipating February 23rd to see Minister Kwandwana build on this.
Yeah, no, certainly keenly anticipating that speech in a couple of weeks, just to see which items are going to be expounded and expanded upon. And it is an interesting one, just to see the different stakeholders that the president has to sort of make alliance with, but at the same time, that fine balance that we were talking about earlier on, of balancing out the economic needs, the business needs, versus the pressure to actually be re-elected once again. So some of the tough decisions that do need to be taken, will they really be taken, or once again will we see another year of kicking the bucket down the road as has sort of become customary? And I think that's possibly where we can end today's discussion. It's been quite wide ranging, and thank you so much to Yolandi and Lo. And I think I'm just going to give each one of you, starting off with Lo, and then Yolandi, you will have the last word on this discussion, is to just say, right, we've all heard the speech by now. We've had a night to sort of mull over it. Those that had dreams about it, those that sat and took notes, those that analyzed have analyzed. And it's simply to say that as much as things things have been said, and we've identified all of these issues. The key players in the economy, how are they likely to take what was being said yesterday? I guess this is once again coming back to that issue of the note that is being struck by the president in his pronouncements. So, Lo, just your take, just around, you know, from a macro point of view, as South Africa, as consumers, as the various stakeholders, how do we take it? Because, you know, consumers, for example, have been under immense pressure over the last couple of years. How do we, you know, take this thing, everything that was said yesterday? Do we sort of smile and say, okay, I think the president and government have our back? Or do we sort of sit there and say, he didn't really say much. I wonder what the rest of the year is going to entail.
Yeah, I have to be. I have to be honest. I came into the speech with very low expectations, and I still came away feeling a certain amount of positivity. I know ultimately it is just that. It's a speech. It's a 2-hour chinwag, and the proof is in the pudding. Whether or not things mentioned yesterday can be put into action, can Ramaphosa's government deliver what the president has promised us? But having said that, these things do matter, of course, and this is why there's so much attention on. And I think he struck the right note yesterday, and he struck an excellent balance between, like I said, the aspirational stuff and then the sort of meat and bones type detailed pronouncements. So I feel that he set the political year off on the right foot. The president is facing enormous pressures and challenges, as we know. But in all of these challenges, there's also opportunity. And the focus for the next 6 months at the very least is to see whether or not Mr. Ramaphosa can take these challenges and turn them into something that he can, and to take advantage of these opportunities that they present, and trying to make substantial changes that can shift the country's mood, which is not good. We got the year off to a terrible start with the burning of Parliament. And yesterday was the first time, as he said, that Sona was delivered anywhere other than the National Assembly. It did feel like a metaphor for where we are as a nation. So if the goal was just to deliver a speech that could maybe just get us a little bit out of the funk and maybe have the private sector prick their ears and think that maybe there is an opportunity here, they are the green shoots they've spoken of in the past, I think perhaps he's succeeded on that score, and I hope that we can push on, and I hope that we can see progress. But again, the proof is in the pudding, and it's over to Mr. Gwanandwana now.
Certainly, the proof is in the pudding. Yolandi, your take, if I'm, you know, just listening to it from a business point of view, you highlighted a number of questions and issues that businesses, you know, will be concerned about and were likely taking note of. But I guess it's that overall thing of, you know, has he struck a positive note? You know, is this something that inspires, you know, business confidence? And also just from, you know, a certainty point of view, because when it comes to business, a lot of people are looking for a lot of certainty.
Absolutely. And as Lo mentioned, I mean, you know, I also feel a bit of positivity. Actually, a lot of things were addressed. And I mean, now is the time to rehabilitate businesses so that they can grow, appoint more people, and we can get out of this, I don't want to say a rabbit hole, but at this point, it is still a bit of a rabbit hole. And they, if they keep on providing relief to these affected businesses, you know, in terms of the employment tax incentive, et cetera, then we can create jobs, keep employment. And as Lo mentioned, I mean, it is brave decisions that will have to be made. And it's all about, you said, proof is in the pudding. It's all about execution and obviously accountability. But this thing, I think I feel positive about this. And hopefully this is the year when we switch things around.
So that's been it for this discussion. Very wide ranging, very interesting, looking at things from macroeconomic and business point of view, just off of the State of the Nation address that was given by President Cyril Ramaphosa this week. Giving insight was Yolandi Esterhazen, who is a registered tax practitioner and director for product compliance over at Sage Africa and Middle East, together with Lo Nell, who is a senior political analyst over at Oxford Economics Africa. Some of the big things that came out of this discussion, I think on both sides, there's an agreement that the president struck, you know, a very positive note, you know, with the State of the Nation address, but particularly leaning towards being more business friendly, because we heard him himself talking about how the engine for economic growth and also employment is private businesses as opposed to government. That was one of the big things that came out. It was quite a long speech and a lot of things were covered. But on the side of the taxes, Yolandi just mentioning, you know, some of the clarity around the cost of doing business, corporate income taxes, employment incentives, as well as basic income grants that we're going to likely need to get some clarity on when Mr. Gondongwana takes the stage in a couple of weeks for his budget speech. And Lo just talking about the fact that this has been one of the better, you know, SONA speeches, and the fact that, you know, he did address the energy crisis, but what they're actually going to do on the ground, you know, remains to be seen, particularly when it comes to those reports around the expert panel, as well as state capture. You know, how are they going to actually make sure that these things don't, you know, happen again? And also just as a metaphor, like he was pointing out, to say that last night was the first time that that address was given without being in the House of Assembly, sort of as a metaphor of where the country is on an, you know, just from a State of the Nation point of view. So that's been it. Thank you so much.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
With great plans must come great execution. I think that could literally or really does need to be a theme or a slogan of some sort, because we've mentioned time and time again that in South Africa there are a lot of good plans that are put out there, a lot of great speeches that are made, but execution is where things sort of you know, rise or fall. So going forward is going to be interesting as we anticipate Minister Gondongwana's maiden full year budget speech in a couple of weeks. You know, what are going to be the big themes that are actually spoken on? What type of things taken from the State of the Nation address that we're actually going to get full clarity, full color on, and not leave us with more questions? And then, more importantly, after all of that, how much of that actually gets implemented? How much of it actually gets done? One of the things I was enjoying when listening to someone like Yolandi was that she was mentioning things that had been said at SONA last year, things that had been said at the budget speech, but after that, you know, there was a bit of silence, right? And nothing had been said about, you know, some of these issues, such as you know, NHI. So one also waits to see this year. You know, hopefully we don't have you know, more of those situations where something is just said and spoken about and then people just go quiet, because once again it goes back to just to use Lowe's term of chin wagging, you know, paying lip service to some of these issues. The execution is gonna really need to be, you know, quite important. And also just that fact that you know, there are some of these elections that are going on, particularly on the president's side, standing for re-election later this year. How does that need, you know, the political front actually balance out with the macroeconomic needs of the country at the moment? You know, particularly because he has been a big person whose policy agenda has been around the economy. So, you know, fixing unemployment, fixing, joblessness, fixing the ease of doing business in South Africa. These are all things that do need to happen. So a lot of the things that he was saying yesterday, being business friendly, etc., they do sort of serve his overarching agenda that has been in place, from the beginning. So the consistency is appreciated, but the action will need to back that up. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.